On this week's episode of the Colts Corner podcast, we will do a Hills West sports whip around. We'll talk college football and NFL football as well. We'll go over our athlete of the week and a lot more. Let's do it.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Colts Corner podcast. I'm Brian Flatow alongside Ben Dixon, Doug Latuca, and
what
Mike Garafa.
What up?
We're here. We got a great show today. We'll start with Hills West football. Ben, what you got?
Hills West football team looking good. We're looking to go 4-0 this Friday night. Tomorrow, 6 p.m. at Miller Place. They're 0-3. Can't overlook an opponent, obviously, especially a conference one. But, you know, we're looking to go 4-0. Last week, last Friday, actually, monster game at Kings Park. 40-21 win. The rushing game was just outstanding. I'm just going to read off some stats for you. A little trio in the backfield. The Kim Griffin, 11 rushes, 151 yards, 3 touchdowns. One of those was receiving touchdown. Sadiq Hines, 6 rushes, 121 yards, 2 touchdowns. And Justin Brown with 15 rushes, 111 yards, and 1 touchdown. So, I mean, it's a lot of yards. It's a lot of touchdowns. It's domination on the ground. Ground and pound.
It's something about Friday Night Lights, baby. People get excited about that. Football team's looking good. Looking to go 4-0, and we're excited for that. Boys soccer. 5-2-2 on the year. I've spoken to Gannon. Actually, I have him in class. Great guy. Great coach. It's been somewhat of a disappointment. Not really. They've had a tough schedule, but obviously coming off that huge playoff run from last year, off to a somewhat slower start this year. Their last game was a huge 3-2 comeback win against East Islip. The sophomore Bergoli with the game-winning goal in the 98th minute. OT winner. Love to see that. The game was canceled yesterday. They were actually in the stands watching the girls' soccer, who moved to 7-1.
Got all of that school spirit.
I mean, yeah, you'd love to see the two teams supporting each other. Girls' soccer has completely dominated the competition. If you want more info, actually, story of the week coming out tomorrow on girls' soccer. Interviews from captains Lindsay Wright and Olivia Meserol and stud goal scorer Jordan Levy on that article. New coaches doing a great job. They're 5-2-2. The boys and the girls 7-1. And their last game, they won 6-0 against West Hampton. So again, check out that article tomorrow. Should also be on the website at HHH Roundup. Should be the first link there. So we're excited about the start of the soccer teams.
Yeah, and something with the boys soccer is when you set the bar that high, you know, with a state championship run last season, it's hard to live up to that. And I think we need to remember that. And they lost a few games in a row. Last week was a tough week for them. But they bounced back with that 3-2 OT victory, and it's starting. I'm hoping that it's going to start looking like last season. And even though last season might be unrealistic because it's such a high,
yep,
such a high feat. I'd still love to see them to make a run at it again and start turning the corner now with their with this overtime victory.
Yeah, Brian, we were talking about that. The expectations obviously sky high coming into the season, making that run to this all the way to the state championship last year. And you go into the season, and you think the same is just going to continue throughout. And so far, 5-2-2, it's a pretty good record by most team standards.
Yep.
But I know some of the players have been disappointed, and Coach Gannon hasn't been the most thrilled with that start. But a few days ago, that comeback win against East Islip should hopefully spark the team, and they'll be able to do some great things.
As I said earlier, I have a class with Coach Gannon, and today he actually showed the video from last year. He made a 3-hour video, all of in-game film, him in the meetings, and you could just feel the magic. It's very similar to Yankee playoffs last year, and that's what I've said from the beginning when we first started the podcast after they had somewhat of a slow start. I said the magic from last season, it's tough to replicate coming into a brand new season. You have younger kids stepping up, the older seniors leave. The magic is just not there yet, but it builds up over time. The experiences you have with your team, the droughts, the ups and the downs, everything combines into really just one magical run that is exactly what happened last year.
And to be fair, to start any season, no team really has that coming out of the gate. You could expect as much as you want, and you could say you have all this talent, but when it really starts coming together is when it really starts getting fun, and that's when they make the runs like they did last season.
Exactly. So Hills West Sports doing a great job so far. Check out the article coming out. College football, we'll jump right into that. A couple of big games. This weekend coming up.
All right, last weekend, obviously, there were some huge games. Stanford, Oregon, Iowa, Wisconsin. But the biggest win, not necessarily was one of the highlight games. I mean, I'm sure everyone was overlooking it coming to the day. ODU.
Yep.
0-3. With losses to the likes of teams like Liberty. Obviously, not a powerhouse school. Just joined the FBS. They beat number 13th ranked Virginia Tech, who was undefeated, in a shocking upset. Their starting quarterback wasn't even in the game. It was their backup. The guy, Blake LaRussa, I'm going to give you a little info about him, comes in off the bench, four touchdowns, 495 yards, absolutely lights up that defense. It was the best performance against a Bud Foster, who's the defensive coordinator for Virginia Tech defense, since he was hired, which was in 95 or 96, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
Shout out to your uncle, by the way.
Oh, ODU.
Weekly shout out. Got it. So I did watch. I watched some of the highlights of that game, and that was really an amazing game and a great upset for ODU going all the way and then getting to take that lead late in the game. It was just an amazing game, and I'm sure that's got to feel great for them.
Yeah, and that's a huge win. You know, Virginia Tech is not even close to a pushover. What were they ranked 13th in the country? So now they fell to not even being ranked in the top 25. So that's a huge win for Old Dominion. Looking ahead to some games this week. I'm definitely going to highlight Ohio State, Penn State.
Whiteout. Shout out, Gold.
Yeah. Right, the old podcast guy. And
who's he?
Yeah, who is he now? yeah, but that's a huge one. So you look at the quarterbacks in the matchup. You know, it's Dwayne Haskins versus Trace McSorley. Those are two Heisman candidates right there and two powerhouse teams. Going to be an awesome matchup.
Yeah, Haskins, definitely one of the better QBs in the country. And that the other highlight game at the same time, 7:30, Stanford-Notre Dame. Two top 10 matchups happening at the same time Saturday night. Both should be dandies.
Do we know my late game? Is that the late game, or is there a later game? Pac-12.
Oh, are you thinking about the Pac-12 after dark game?
After dark.
I'll look at that right now. I'll get back to you.
So we'll move from college. He'll look up after dark, my favorite game, obviously. I spoke about it last week. We'll move from college to the professional level. To the NFL, which has been very eventful for through the first 3 weeks, going into week four, possibly one of the best Thursday night games there has ever been on the schedule this week as Minnesota travels to the LA Rams. And we talk about Minnesota and what a powerhouse they are and have been, and then what they did last week against the worst team in the league, the Buffalo Bills. It's just shocking to me what happened.
Before we dive into the games, I'm just going to say,
okay,
you're crazy if you're not listening to our fantasy football breakdown. It's the best show on the air right now besides the Colts Corner podcast, including the Colts Corner podcast. Me and Doug, we're doing great things. We had our second episode today. I know all you guys are playing fantasy football. We got all the news, all the knowledge. Who should start? Who should sit? Who should pick up? Fantasy football breakdown brought to you by Colts Corner every Thursday.
You are excited.
It's a great show. Doug and I were fired up before.
Fired up. You should hear that show. It's filled with excitement, filled with stats, filled with outstanding content that we've worked on. Every week we're bringing you waiver pickups. Start, sit. We love you all. That's why we do it, because we love sports. So let's dive right into that Thursday night game, which we actually talked about on that show. I spoke about the upsetting loss by Minnesota. And what are your expectations coming into this week?
I'll let Brian speak first, just because I had to come in with that strong there, you know, got to support the fantasy show.
So Minnesota is—they're one of the best teams in the league, right? You can't even really go against that. Even though they have the loss and the tie this year, it's kind of irrelevant, you know. I could tell that was a poorly coached team going I shouldn't be saying that, because Mike Zimmer's an excellent head coach. But going into that game against Buffalo, they completely overlooked them, and they kind of had every right to, because Buffalo was 0-2. They got completely destroyed in their first two games. So when you go out in there, you get killed by Buffalo. I think they're going to come out ready tonight against the Los Angeles Rams, who have looked like one of the best teams I've seen in my life, honestly, through 3 weeks. And they're definitely one of the most talented teams. The Rams are missing a few corners. Look, I think I'm huge on the Rams bandwagon right now. I think they're going to have a really, really great year. But I think the Vikings are going to come out with a win tonight, because I think they're going to be fired up after that loss. A lot of people hating on them this week. And then you're going to see some of those receivers, Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen, be able to take advantage of the loss of Marcus Peters and Aqib Talib.
Yeah, Brian, I told you that on Sunday night when I first saw the spread for that game came out. It was the Rams were favored by 7. Right now they're still favored by 7. And I'm just really not understanding it, because the Rams, like you said, are missing Aqib Talib, Marcus Peters. That's their whole secondary right there, you know? And like you said, Diggs Thielen will look to expose those matchups. But I got the Vikings straight up in that game. like Brian, because they'll be coming out angry, let down against the Bills. And obviously the Rams are one of the best teams in the league, one of the best teams we've seen through 3 weeks, like you said. But I'm really liking Kirk Cousins to have a bounce-back week. I think it'll go down to the wire, but I got the Vikes tonight.
Yeah, and I got to say, the Rams minus 7, I understand that from the point of view that if the Rams win, they're going to win by a lot because their offense is just off the charts. They have the three receivers, Cooks, Woods, and Kupp. They have Jared Goff, who's playing amazing football right now. Todd Gurley, how can I not even mention him first? He's the best running back in the league with at least with Le'Veon Bell out. Doug.
Correct.
Okay, how about that? He's at least the best running back in the league right now. They have a great offensive line. That offense is just easily the best in the league right now. So I can understand why the line is there, because if they're going to win, they're going to win by a lot. But I honestly think that the Vikings are going to go out and stick it to them tonight.
Yeah, Minnesota definitely overlooked the Bills last week. Looking ahead to this game, obviously a huge matchup. Possible NFC championship matchup that could definitely be on the schedule towards the playoff time. But I think Minnesota comes out. They're obviously disappointed in last week's result, and I think they stick it to the Rams, who are definitely depleted on the defensive side of the ball. But their defensive front is still strong with Sue and Donald, so it could be a close one. I think Minnesota keeps it close. They have a good chance of winning the game as well. Some other games, we'll go to Sunday night. It's the Baltimore Ravens coming to my Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday night. It's a great matchup.
That is a great game. Yeah, you're right.
Definitely. Steelers defense has struggled. We saw it last Monday night against Tampa Bay. They had a 20-point lead going into half. Blew it. Only won the game by 3. But their offense was strong in that one. And Baltimore's coming in looking for another win.
Yeah, in the second half of that game, it looked like Pittsburgh got a little conservative. You know, stopped throwing the ball to Antonio Brown. And then he actually didn't even have a catch in the second half. And they let Tampa Bay get back into this game. I don't think you're going to see them let Baltimore get anything in this one. I think the Steelers are going to build off that win they just had and beat the Ravens pretty handedly.
Yeah, they definitely were playing some soft zone there in the second half. Just keep the clock
and
moving.
And offensively, too. They weren't taking any shots anymore. So they were playing a little conservative.
Yeah, and this could definitely have some huge implications on the division. Baltimore 2-1, Steelers 1-1-1. So a win for Pittsburgh. And put them closer to the top.
Right, and I have to say, that's a division that's looking really great this year, because Baltimore is, well, they've had some really great performances. You know, they're 2-1 right now. Pittsburgh, you can never count out Pittsburgh. Cleveland also, which I'm assuming we're going to talk about them at some point. I mean, how can you not love Baker Mayfield? And then there's Cincinnati, who lost their first game last week. So that's a division that you should definitely look out
for. Yeah, Cincinnati definitely an underrated team. And going back to that Steelers-Ravens game, I think the Ravens will look to spread the ball around in the air after the Steelers' secondary has not been so great so far this season. So look for them to get it to Michael Crabtree, John Brown, Sleeper, Fantasy Podcast. Check that out.
Yep.
And sorry, got a promo, you know?
Yep.
And Willie Snead. So those receivers, look for them to get the ball to those receivers a lot. Flacco will spread it out in the air and, you know, get the pass going, open up the run game. Alex Collins, Javoris Allen. I think it'll be a good one.
Yeah, underlying story in that game, kicker matchup. Chris Boswell struggled recently, made a few kicks towards the end of that game, got himself back on track. But Justin Tucker, obviously one of the best kickers in the league. So kicking could play a huge part in that game.
Don't
especially,
sleep on the special teams.
Yeah, if you look at the recent matchups, a lot of games between the Steelers and the Ravens decided by 3 points or less. So that will have a huge implication on the final score. We'll move into another interesting game. With two teams, Oakland Raiders have struggled as Cleveland will come into their house. They're 0-3 looking for their first win, and I don't think anybody could have predicted that slow of a start.
Right, well, there are two underlying stories in this game. They're not underlying at all. They're right there.
Yep.
Baker Mayfield starting his first game for the Cleveland Browns. Very exciting, the number one overall pick in the draft. And the Oakland Raiders, who, like you said, have not yet won a game this season, and John Gruden is looking for that first win as head coach, the $100 million man. They're getting anxious over there in Oakland. So those are two big storylines from that game. Definitely things to look for on Sunday.
Yeah, maybe Gruden should have stayed in the booth. But that is as a must-win of a game you're going to get if you're Oakland. 0-3, you can't lose to Cleveland at home. You just can't. And Cleveland's not going to sleepwalk into this game either after winning that first game. Baker Mayfield, first career start. He'll get the boys fired up, and I think it'll be a good one.
I think it's going to be cool for the Browns because, I mean, like you said, they're coming off of that very long drought without getting a win. And coming into this game, I think they definitely have a nice little bit of weight off of their shoulders, and I think they can play a little more freely, and it can definitely help their game.
Right, and we're not going to talk about who the Browns beat in that game, are we? I don't.
No.
There's no need for that.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, there's no need. Sorry, Jet fans. But I just see from last week when Baker Mayfield entered the game, you could almost just feel a weight lifted off the Browns' shoulders. Like, let's go out and play. It's the rookie's time. It lit some sort of a spark underneath all these Browns players. Like, we're going to do this right now. Let's get going. We got our first win. And it hurts for me to say this as a Steeler fan, but I think that they could be dangerous in a couple of years. Even this year, they put up a good fight in week one. So
well, if
they're not a bad team at all.
Right, and if you could see things that from Baker Mayfield that, say, Deshaun Watson did last year before the injury, if he's that good and if he could play the way that he did in the very small sample size that we have him in his NFL career, the Browns could contend this year. You know, the AFC is not as strong as the NFC, that's for sure. And that is a tough division, but they could definitely make a run at it. Their record's not – they're not out of it now like Oakland might be with an 0-3 record. You don't see a lot of 0-3 teams making it. But 1-1-1, that's .500. So I could see the Browns making a run, but I think it all lies on Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, Cleveland definitely on the right track. Don't know if they're going to compete this year. It's definitely a possibility, like you said, if Baker gets the boys going.
Yep.
But we'll have to see. And another 0-3 team like Oakland is Houston, who is desperate coming off a loss to the Giants at home.
I think the biggest surprise of
that is a
so
huge
far.
Surprise, and they are desperate. I think they put the Colts at home, if I'm correct, and you know that's also a must-win game for Houston if you have any aspirations of not being the laughing stock of the league. So
it just doesn't make sense to me how they could possibly be 0-3 with the plethora of weapons that Deshaun Watson has at his disposal, with Hopkins, Fuller, Lamar Miller in the backfield, solid production each week. I'm just confused. Their defense, I don't know what's going on. J.J. Watt, I need you, brother. I love that man. I love my boy TJ Watt, too. So I love the Watt family. I just want them to succeed. And Deshaun Watson has recently picked it up. If we're talking fantasy-wise, definitely 20-plus points per week in the last two. So you love to see that. So it's desperation time for Houston and for Oakland, both 0-3 coming into week four.
And another game to look out for, especially if you love points, it's definitely going to be a shootout. We got New Orleans Saints taking on the Giants at MetLife. That'll definitely be a high-scoring game. Both defenses not very good, and the Saints with that high-powered offense of Breeze, Kamara, Michael Thomas, it's the three-headed monster, you know? All three of them just having an unreal year so far, and I'm excited to see what they can do this week.
Yeah, and the Giants coming off of their first win of the season against, like we just said, the Texans. And they looked good in that game. You know, the offensive line was better, which you would not really expect against Jadeveon Clowney and J.J. Watt.
Well, yeah, Eric Flowers bench. So that was
right. Eric Flowers bench. That's
huge change.
And also, when you bench an Eric Flowers and your offensive line gets a little better, that gives Eli Manning much more time to pass. Saquon Barkley much more lanes to run through. And Saquon's just looked awesome now. Eli Manning throwing Odell Beckham. That connection looks like it's back. And it's going to be a good matchup. You know, a high powered scoring matchup. Two great offenses going at it.
Yeah, for the Giants, it's all about the guy throwing the football to the receivers. Last week, Eli Manning, we spoke about the improved protection. He threw for 297 yards and two TDs. So Eli Manning really runs that offense, and Saquon's a great piece to have in the backfield. They need to get OBJ involved in the pass game, get him going, and I think they have a shot to go up against a really high-powered New Orleans Saints offense with, of course, Michael Thomas, Kamara, and Breeze. It's scary. The three-headed monster out there in New Orleans, it's really a scary thing if you're thinking the defense against that team. And now we're going to move on to our athlete of the week. That's the athlete that we think has overperformed this week, had a huge part in their sport, great moment. So, Brian, let's hear your athlete of the week.
Well, mine is definitely an early season MVP candidate from the NFL, Patrick Mahomes from Kansas City, making his first few starts this season. He has broken the record with 13 touchdown passes to start the season in his first three games. That's an electric stat if I've ever heard one. This past week, he put up three touchdown passes, 314 passing yards, and a win against San Francisco. He's just looked awesome out there, and it's great to see.
Yeah, he has the best odds now, I believe, as the MVP candidate. I saw that. So Patrick Mahomes rising in the ranks, possible MVP this year. Ben, your athlete of the week.
Switching from an MVP contender to a Heisman contender, Ohio State QB Dwayne Haskins. This guy's been absolutely outstanding so far. 21 for 24, 304 yards and five touchdowns. The guy didn't even play the whole game. Maryland decommit. It hurts in the heart. The guy's a great player and one of the best QBs in the nation. And while we're still on the topic of college football, I just want to give you your Pac-12 after dark games, Doug, just because, I know you're interested in those. USC, Arizona, and Oregon Cal.
That's a ranked matchup.
It's a good game.
Let's go, baby! You know I love that. After dark. Mike Garofa, give me your athlete of the week.
My athlete of the week has got to be the New York Mets Cy Young, Jacob DeGrom, the outstanding pitcher who is guaranteed the Cy Young. In the last week, he's had 15 innings pitched with 18 strikeouts. He's got 2 wins, which is more than he's ever had practically the whole season. A 0.6 ERA with a 0.40 whip. An absolutely outstanding week for DeGrom. Now entering MVP talks and also the Cy Young.
If we're on the topic of the Mets, how can we not mention the sad news of David Wright?
Yeah, so David Wright, his final game of his MLB career will be played this Saturday. Starting a game at third base, Jose Reyes will be alongside him for the first time since 2011 in a start of a game. It's going to be exciting. I'm going to be attending the game. It's an anticipated game. And I think David Wright's going to go out in great fashion. If he gets a hit, I think the place is going to erupt. So it's going to be an electric atmosphere, and I just can't wait.
Yeah, and one more thing from the Mets. Jacob DeGrom, his last pitch was his 1,000th career strikeout yesterday. A perfect way to end a perfect season. Got to be the Cy Young.
DeGromination.
Absolutely.
So my athlete of the week has to go to Tiger Woods. The face of golf, pretty much, these last couple of months before his back injury. He's coming off that injury, has really risen in the rankings. He's now 13th in the PGA Tour World Ranking. He won last week the Tour Championship at under 11. You love to see this guy. Used to be an electric top of the news star. Had a couple injury setbacks. He's worked his way all the way back up. And you just see the atmosphere. If you watch the last hole when he won, just the mound of people, it's almost like ants. Ants around a little crumb. They're just scrambling around Tiger Woods. You love to see this guy succeed. He's electric. He's my athlete of the week, and good for him.
2019 Green Jacket winner.
We'll see. But interesting fact about Tiger, rose 1,193 spots in the world rankings in 8 months.
Now he's at number 13.
Unbelievable.
What a comeback.
So that'll do it for this week. As always, we would like to thank the following people, Mr. Doxy and Mr. Achudi, Dr. Catapano and the administration, the Board of Education, and our audience who listens every Thursday. And finally, a thank you to the class of 2016 to their very generous donation towards our podcast setup. I'm Ben Dixon alongside our always reliable producer, Mike Garofa, Brian Flatow, and Douglas Tuca. We'll see you next week!